Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast today. Thank you so much for everybody that has tuned in and listened and taken moments out of their day to listen to us talk about life and the things of Jesus and the things we're learning. We just want to remind you, if this has at all been helpful, would you do us a favor and share that with your family, with your friends, with those who you know that this content might be helpful? And also, if you wouldn't mind just going over to our podcast page on whatever platform you use and leaving a comment and even rating the podcast, it's always really helpful for us. So thank you so much in advance for doing that. Today, we're going to talk about marriage. Who's ready for this? Phil and Diane.
I am.
Elizabeth are here. We're all four here. And Phil and Diane, how long have you guys been married now?
42 years.
Mm-hmm. 42
and
years.
She's still smiling at me right now, yes, which is good.
Yes, she is. And then actually, we are, by the time this airs, we'll already be married 14 years. But even this week, we'll be married 14 years.
Yeah.
Time goes by.
It's your anniversary this week.
It's our anniversary. It is. Yeah. It's amazing how quick life goes. But we just want to take a minute and really just pause and talk about marriage. If you are a person that is married, have kids or don't have kids, this is an important topic because marriage is one of the most wonderful, beautiful, complex, confusing, frustrating blessings that many of us have ever experienced. And if you really want a deep marriage, it takes a lot of work. And we're thankful for those. I know Elizabeth and I are so thankful for those who have helped us along the way, even like you and Phil and Diane, you guys have helped us so much. But I know you guys have had people help you along the way so much. And we want to today not only talk about a really important word that can help bless and encourage your marriage in a huge way, but we also want to end today's podcast with a little bit of a challenge too, which I'm excited about sharing at the end. But before we do, let's maybe set the foundation. Elizabeth, you were sharing a story right before we started, and Diana, you were talking about how when you were growing up, your little brother Matthew kind of had this phrase when he sensed tension in the house. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, anytime there was tension between siblings or tension between mom and dad or just anybody not being very nice. I don't know how old he was. Mom, maybe like two just, or three or
yeah,
something.
Pretty
he,
young.
He would just say, "Don't be mean." He'd say it all the time, like especially in the car, because I'm sure we fought all the time in the car. "Don't be mean." But what's funny is our 2.5-year-old, or almost three, she's almost three, anytime she hears Brooke and I using less than nice tones with each other, and I actually personally love this, she says, "Daddy, don't be mad at mom. Don't be mad at mom." It's never mom, don't be mad at dad. "Daddy, don't be mad at mom." And what she means is be nice. Like, because it's amazing how they pick up on even just a little bit of a harsh tone.
Yes. And the word we're talking about today is kindness. And so, but there's so much depth here. And I know, Diane, you've been doing a lot of work on this. And so maybe if you want to take this part of the conversation, lead us through this incredibly important word and really helpful word to us if we can understand it and even implement it.
Well, I'm actually in the process of writing our story of 42 years of both of us coming into our marriage with our own stuff, fairly new Christians. And I'm in the process of writing this book and our story and the lessons learned along the way. This idea of kindness just kept popping out to me. And I thought, this deserves a whole chapter. Just what does it mean? What does it look like? Being kind is so much more than just being nice, which is what we think of in the way we use the word in English, that the Hebrews understood kindness as part of the character of God. They understood it as just foundational to their worship of God and their love of each other. Mm. In fact, Proverbs 11:17 talks about the consequences of kindness and of unkindness. It says, your kindness will reward you. Hmm. Your cruelty will destroy you. Oh, just think of that in the context of marriage.
Oh, wow.
My kindness towards my husband will come back and reward me. My cruelty of speech, of rolling my eyes, of speaking under my breath, whatever it is, my cruelty will destroy me. It will destroy us. Hmm. And there is a word, this word for kindness, that's woven throughout the Old Testament so beautifully and so rich in meaning that the English language just does an inadequate job of glossing this word for us. Can't possibly do it justice. So there's a whole rich treasure of synonyms for the word kindness, or in the Hebrew, hesed. They can be words like kindness, mercy. Now, remember, mercy is not giving somebody what they deserve. God doesn't give us what we deserve. In choosing not to give somebody what they deserve, that's mercy.
Wow.
That's loyalty.
Convicting.
I have your back. I'm there for you. Mm. I would never betray you. My eyes are only on you. Loving kindness, putting those two words together. Steadfastness and unfailing love. That's what the Hebrews would have understood this word to mean. And then I once did a study on the book of Ruth that I just loved, trying to bring it into real life. And the three main characters in the book of Ruth are Ruth, of course. And then there's Naomi, her mother-in-law, and then there's Boaz. And this is a rich, beautiful love story we all love in the Bible. The reality is each of those three characters bring up this word hesed and show how their entire story, their entire family, the history, she's in the lineage then, of course, of Jesus. Yeah. So there's this heritage back in Jesus' family. There's this heritage of hesed. Hmm. In that book, we read that Ruth's remarkable hesed towards her mother-in-law, way over the top, hesed towards her mother-in-law, is what initially caught Boaz's attention. Hmm. And then Naomi, the mother-in-law, notices Boaz's hesed towards Ruth, and she brings it to Ruth's attention, and Ruth starts to really look at Boaz seriously.
Wow.
And then finally, it was Ruth's hesed towards Boaz that turned this story into a romance for the ages.
Wow.
Hesed is foundational to romance in our marriage, to growing old and growing more in love, to not only just staying together, we survived our marriage of however many years, but of actually growing in love with each other. And of course, it is then a foundation for generations of your family to say, here is the key. My grandparents showed me this. It's hesed. If I could just love my husband, love my wife through all their ups and downs in lives and all their humanness with genuine hesed, then I might be able to have a Ruth and Boaz romance. Or I hope someday somebody will say a Phil and Diane romance. Mm. This is an incredible, beautiful, powerful word.
Yeah. So as you're talking, I'm just like encouraged, inspired, and also incredibly challenged. Like I'm sure many are
me too
that are even listening, because I think that is so something that we skip over, gloss over easily. No one talks about in premarital counseling. Like,
no.
Make sure you love each other well. Make sure there's time. Don't go to bed angry. Try to work out conflict resolution. Stay consistent with intimacy, things like this. Mm-hmm. But how much of what you're talking about is even more foundational or just as foundational as those mm-hmm. things that if you are not kind or have a language of kindness or the full mm-hmm. meaning of said, what you're missing out on. Mm-hmm. And I think I see a lot of people that love each other, but are never kind to mm-mm. one another. Mm-mm. And it's almost like this sharp pain constantly. Mm-hmm. Like they love each other and they know they're like, I love you so much. You're my favorite person and all that. And they know that, but like kindness never actually comes out right. towards that person. So I feel like this is something I know even for me, like this is, yes. this is convicting and something we need to work through.
And you know, in Titus 2:6, older women are actually urged to teach and train younger women to be kind in the New American Standard.
Wow.
Which implies to me that this is a learned trait. Yeah. We don't pop out of the womb being kind to people. Nice. Some people seem to just be born nice.
Yeah.
Kindness is a whole nother level. So it's something that we need to be trained in, which is why we're doing this podcast.
Can you remind us one more time, read through what hased actually means? I just think for context one more time. What is the fullness of that word?
These are just the words that it's translated various times in the scripture. So, okay. I mean, so much deeper and richer. Kindness, mercy.
Okay.
So what is mercy? Can somebody say?
Unearned, and no, that's
now
grace.
That's grace. Yeah,
grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy yes. is not giving someone what they deserve.
Yeah. That's the one that challenges
failed.
Me.
We just
most
failed at school here.
I used to wrestle with my kids. We do this thing called the leg scissors, where I get my legs around them, and I, you know, I could crush them right when
you
they
remember
were
the story when you did that to me. You did that to me when I was because we were Elizabeth and I were dating, and I think it was like this. It was like who's the alpha male, and we were all like. In the living room, and John Mark was there, Matthew was there, and we were all wrestling for a quick minute, and then all of a sudden, I found myself on the ground, like not being able to breathe, and you'd got me in this leg scissors like move, and I was like, I'm done, I'm out.
And you made you beg for
mercy,
because I could kill you, but now
I'd like to see you guys do that again.
I'm so glad that you have to honor the aged now, because you could kill me right now.
No, so we have mercy.
So it's kindness, mercy, loyalty.
Okay. Mm.
Loving kindness, steadfastness, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And unfailing love.
Wow. It's so full. Well, what we wanted to do today was just take a minute to talk about this reality, because I know for Elizabeth and I and Phil and Diane, I know you've said this before too. This is not easy. Mm-mm. Am I right? Mm-mm. Because we go around unintentionally and sometimes intentionally wounding each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard, I think, it's easy to love. It's easy to provide for. It's easy to be present for me. I can say for me. But being kind takes a lot more work. Mm-hmm. Gentle in your response, loving mm-hmm. in your gaze, right? Like that's a whole different set mm-hmm. of skills. Mm-hmm. And I'm particularly in my mind pretty perfect in our marriage. but Elizabeth,
Sloane doesn't see it.
And Elizabeth isn't fully seeing it yet. And I know we're still praying for her involvement in this. Years. But actually, you were saying something right before this, honey, about how you've been trying to implement this with me when I'm at my less than ideal moments in life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my natural when you maybe are using less than choice words or tones, I have this, like, I can be really quick-tempered and have a high need for justice.
I didn't know that.
You have no, yeah.
What?
Yes, it's very true. I'm confessing to the world. Where I can immediately, if it feels unwarranted, if I don't feel like I've done anything wrong, I can just snap back and try to mm-hmm. prove to you that the way you're treating me is unjust. And just assume that you mean something by it that I've determined, rather than assume that your heart is to love me well, your heart is to be kind, and maybe there's something more going on here. Maybe it has nothing to do with me. And so there's a few times recently where I've caught myself, and I'm not very good at this at all. So this is just a few moments that turned out well, where instead of reacting to you, just taking a minute and asking you, hey, are you upset with me? Did I do something to make you upset, or are you frustrated about something else? Because how often are we stressed from the day, frustrated mm-hmm. about something else, mm-hmm. and we're just looking for somebody to pin it on. Mm-hmm. And usually our spouse is the closest, easiest person to yep. pin it on. Maybe mm-hmm. we've had self-control with our kids all day, mm-hmm. and our husband walks in the door, speaking from experience, and our hard day all of a sudden is all his fault mm-hmm. because of something he did or something he didn't do. Or, but man, what if we like actually assumed the best in each other? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we naturally be more kind? Like yes. you were just talking to our counselor about this.
Yeah.
And about so often I'm trying to manage your reactions, Brooke, like trying to make you not upset or not react. And he said, you need to assume his flexibility, mm-hmm. not his rigidity.
Yeah.
And that to me was so helpful of like, wouldn't I be so much softer and kinder to you if I assumed your flexibility? Yeah. Because I know that's yeah. actually who you are. You're actually quite flexible. But instead of reacting to the moments when you're not, what if I just assumed that that's how you're going to be?
Yeah.
Which just makes me think even of just that scripture that's so powerful, and we use it with our kids all the time, but not necessarily with each other, is that death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Like there's no middle ground. Yeah. Yes. It's either death or life. And
or
that
other.
We have the option every time we open our mouths and move our tongue
uh-huh.
to bring death or life.
To the relationship.
Yes.
Yes.
And I see this, well, I so affirm what you're saying, and I would also say, you know, I see the tragedy that humor can play
yeah.
in marriage. You know, humor mm-hmm. in the sense of these joking comments that are, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not all the way truthful, but enough to really
yeah.
To blow a sting that in the mm-hmm. in the way that, you know, you're using sarcasm to deal with your pain mm-hmm. instead of actually being kind. And that really stops mm-hmm. intimacy. You know, I see that so much. If I choose that route, I'm choosing to not be as close with my wife. I'm choosing not to be as vulnerable with her mm-hmm. because I'm basically putting up a wall through yes. sarcasm, and I can be mm-hmm. really sarcastic at times. And so I find that in myself, but I even see that in some of, you know, in other people we know's marriage where like sarcasm is the language of their marriage. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. and you also see like how hard that is to live with on a daily mm-hmm. basis. It's really hard to assume the best in somebody when there's these little jabs mm-hmm. every mm-hmm. single day. And yeah. and I think what you just said is really even potentially prophetic, Elizabeth, in the sense of some of you are speaking death over your spouse or to your spouse mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And for really simply, yeah, or really simply, you need to speak life. You need to assume the best because it's only the fruit that's being produced is death. It's mm-hmm. darkness and all that. But I just want to say that's so helpful. I know, Elizabeth, and to me, but also I think to those listening, that life is such an important thing to deliver with our words to our kids, mm-hmm. to our family, to our friends.
Wow, this is a really deep, good, healthy conversation. All these scriptures are popping into my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck on the first one you gave, the Proverbs mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. What was that? Proverbs 11:17. Can you read that again?
Your kindness will reward you. Your cruelty will destroy you.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still stuck on that. And, you know, my mind immediately yeah. went to Galatians. I had to look up where it was. It's Galatians 5:15, where Paul is talking to the Galatians, who was all the strife, and he said to them, be careful that you, mm-hmm. as you bite and devour one another, take care lest you consume one another.
Yes.
And so I wow. think in marriage, when we're saying these negative things towards each other,
yes.
instead of forgiving... Mm-hmm. Because we're going to hurt each other. I mean, husbands are going to hurt wives. Wives are going to hurt husbands. Parents are going to hurt children. Children are going to hurt parents. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn to forgive 70 times 7. And so believing the best about our spouse instead of biting and devouring. I mean, if you want to destroy your marriage, just focus on what you don't like about the other person. And you start doing that with each other. And literally, you're going to end up being cruel. You're going to bite and devour one another. You're going to be consumed by each other. And then that made me think of Proverbs 15:1. Mm-hmm. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Yep.
And so I've noticed Diane is so good at, because I'm just, you know, I'm a guy moving through the world and I'm like, let's conquer the world. You know? And so I'll say something that I'm not mad at her at all, but it'll just come across like insensitive
tone
or harsh.
Tone is everything.
And I know in that moment she has to decide what she's going to do, but so often she's gentle with me. And turns away what could become an argument because obviously I didn't make her feel loved in that moment.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And that made me think of a really serious verse. from Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, where Jesus said, and by the way, preceded this by saying, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So these words that come out of our mouth, we have to go even deeper and say, where is my heart at? Where am I walking in humility? But then he said, but I say to you, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. And I did a Bible study on that, and the word careless, it's not just like really vile words. It's just worthless words. And so when we say these mean things, these little jabs, or like you're saying, sarcasm and stuff, it's so important to Jesus, who, because he is kind and he is gentle, and he wants us to treat each other the way he treats us, that we're going to render account for it in the day of judgment. And what's that mean? I mean, you know, it's serious stuff. It means it's just going to be wood, hay, and stubble. We're not going to get any reward for that. It's just gone. It's wasted moments in our marriage, wasted moments in our walk with God that bears no good fruit. And so I think that we want to bear fruit. You know, I mean, as husbands, Brooke, you know, we're supposed to wash our wives, Ephesians 5, in the water of the word, to present them before the Lord of everything you want them to be. And that's washing them in words of blessing and love and gratitude, you know?
It just reminds me of something. What you just said was interesting, and I've definitely kept this in the forefront of my mind, and it's been a prayer point even more than I think a conversation point between Elizabeth and I. But I heard someone once say, my goal with marriage, specifically with my wife, is to ask myself the question, would she have had a much fuller life, better life, and fulfilled her calling before the Lord if she would have married someone else? And to realize that's actually a part of my job too, to that she can literally become the fullest version of herself, and that she can actually fulfill the ministry that God's put on her life. And that through my unawareness, or, you know, as men, I think we can be very insecure when our wives are better or more talented than us. And I find this to be the case with me all the time. My wife's far better than me, far more talented, far more smarter. And it is true, like, when God gives you that gift, it can, like, the first feeling is like, gosh, she's just so much better than me, right? And then you realize at the same time that, No, that this isn't have to be it doesn't have to be a pain point. It can be a point of blessing, but at the same time, it's like a lot to work through that. And all that to say, I think if we can look at our spouses, like, would they be better off or fulfill the calling that God's put on their life if they would have married someone else? I just think that's a good lens to maybe look through, or ask yourself. It's a good check-in point. Like, am I being that person?
I think that's a great thing to ask, but I think we should be really clear that if you're listening to this, the answer is not, yes, I would have been better off if I'd married somebody else, and therefore, I want out of this marriage. Never. No. Once you are married, this is the person God has given to you, and God's going to use you in each other's lives as sandpaper to sand away those rough edges, and for you to learn what love is really all about. And the marriage we are in needs to be stewarded by God and all that.
And thank you for catching that. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, the concept isn't like, so I can have a great excuse to divorce my spouse. No, it's actually to have the Spirit inspire you to the higher calling that he has called you to.
And to become that person so that our spouse is saying, I'm so glad I married
you. Yes, exactly. Which I think is important. That's, which transitions to, we want to give you a 30-day challenge. We have three things that we want to just give you and encourage you and inspire you towards as you are in this journey of marriage and life together with your spouse. And we're going to give you these three things. And the idea behind this isn't pressure. It isn't 100% rule as much as it is you need to aim for something. And sometimes we just need practical help, right? Like, in our hope here at Intentional is to bring practical help, biblical hope. We want to encourage people. We want to help people in a really strategic way. And so these are just three things you can write down. You can open your note app or take some notes on a piece of paper. And this is fun. The idea of this is to practice something with your spouse, to have little moments throughout the day that you can bring life to one another, that you can, instead of speaking death, we speak life, and actually bring the fullness of chesed into your marriage and into your family. But before we do that, Phil, I know you want to say
before
something.
Diane walks through these three things, I just, if you're listening, you say, I thought this was the Intentional Parents podcast. Why are we talking about marriage? We like to say, after leading your kids to Jesus and making disciples of your own kids, the best gift you can ever give them is the gift of a good marriage. Yes. If your kids are growing up in the security of mom and dad love each other, we see them working out their arguments and they tell us when they do, and they're never going to leave each other and they're learning to love each other, your kids are going to thrive in that thing. So marriage and parenting, they're connected like glue.
And something you taught us that I think I just want to mention because I feel it is important for some listening because, you know, so much of this isn't an exact science, but I think there's principles that I know you, Phil and Diane, have helped us with that have been remarkably helpful with reassuring our kids of the foundation of our marriage. And one of those simple things, but be consistent with it because we see it helps so much, is when you have a moment of tension or you do have an argument or the kids know you're in the other room and you're working things out, to always just go to them afterwards. After we have apologized and made peace, we sit them all down. They hate it. They always are like, Why are you telling us? We know. But we sit down and say, hey, I want you to know mom and dad had an argument, but we've worked it out. We've asked each other's forgiveness and we love each other very much. And we just want you to know that. And they're like, we know, you know, and that's how they feel now. But what it also does is reassures them of their, just their place and our place in their life of security, a strong foundation. So
well,
I just want to give
we'll say, like, if it's me addressing them, and because this can be a pattern, I'll say, I spoke really disrespectfully to your dad, and I apologize to him. It wasn't okay for me to talk like that. Or Brooke will say, I was unloving to your mom. Or
like, yeah, she did speak disrespectfully, didn't she, kids? I'm kidding.
Because the reality is, they see it. Yeah. They're picking it up.
Yeah.
But in that moment, we can teach them, we're not perfect. Like, because we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to always be respectful, always be kind. That's just, that's the reality. But if we can be showing them, hey, yes, that came out of my mouth, but that's not okay. I shouldn't have said that. I've had to ask for forgiveness, because it goes so much further when they're seeing it happen anyway. But then we're also reinforcing, but hey, that wasn't okay, but I'm a sinner just like you, and I can receive grace just like you.
Yeah,
I just think that can be so powerful.
Do you guys realize you're actually already giving your kids their premarital counseling?
Oh, that's great.
You're teaching them.
Wow.
This is how this is what you do in marriage when you have conflict.
Yeah. It's so I didn't think about that, but you're right.
But we're doing that because that's what you guys did. And that's something, you know, when you get married, you pick and choose. Like, okay, here's the things my parents did that I totally don't want to do. And here's the things that I'm really glad they did that I want to do. You know, it's always a both
and. Like have a dog, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Another story for another time.
But I think that's something you guys did. And so we talked about it, I think, when we were engaged. Like, hey, my parents did this. I really think it was really good that we got to see healthy conflict worked out.
And this was far before we had kids. But
it was basically impossible to hide conflict in our home. I hear about these people who say they grew up and they never heard their parents argue. And when I used to hear that, I just feel instant shame because that is not our story. And now to hear you say it actually helped you realistically enter into marriage. I mean, we Comers are a strong-willed lot of people.
Wait, what?
And,
I've never experienced this.
I thought that laid back before I got married. I thought I was the one laid back.
That's my favorite, like, family of origin lie that she believed about herself for so long. Like, I'm just so mild and, like, don't have a lot of opinions and really just am totally go with the flow. I'm like, that's totally a great version. And if that's truly you, that's fine. But that's just not a reality.
That's just not you.
You know what's really scary about that, Brooke, is that of our family, of the six Comers,
she still am the most mild-mannered.
Oh, that is really frightening.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's get on to this challenge. We have three things we want to give you before we jump off here today. And just to encourage you, inspire you, and give you some practical tools to live into kindness and the fullness of that word has said into your marriage. So give us these three real quick, Diane. And
well, first of all, we need to give credit where credit is due. Please. These are not original with us. I read a very small, very fast read that I highly recommend by Shanti Feldman, best-selling author. And she called it the 30-Day Kindness Challenge.
Yes, I've seen this before.
And, you know, she's a researcher extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. So she gives you all the research. And basically, that if you want to have flourishing relationships, you need to learn to be kind in every relationship. That's basically the premise of her book. But then she's so practical, understanding that we do not live in a culture of kindness.
No.
And this book was written several years ago. Just think of the culture we live in now.
Wow.
And where meanness, honestly, is almost considered a sign of strength and intelligence.
Yeah.
So she put together a 30-day challenge, and we want to challenge you to follow the challenge.
Yes.
And we are challenging ourselves to do the same thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For 30 days. In this case, we're talking marriage.
Yep.
So for 30 days, number one, it's just 3 points. Number one, nix the negatives.
Yes. Tell us about that.
That means that for 30 days.
I love how slow you say it. Like,
a lifetime.
Wow.
You will say nothing negative, either to your wife or husband, or to your kids about your wife or husband, or to a friend, or to your mom, or to anybody.
Wow.
Nothing negative for 30 days.
I love that.
Of speaking not one negative word about your husband or wife, which means nothing mean, snide, impatient, or critical at all for 30 days.
Yeah, and this is why we have the Holy Spirit.
I was going to say, and most people are thinking, I'm out.
Yeah, no. That's really great. I love that. Okay, so nix the negatives. What's the second one?
The second one is practice praise.
Oh.
Again, she challenges us to do this every day for 30 days. That every single day, find one thing that you can sincerely praise or affirm about your husband and wife or wife, and tell them, and then tell someone else.
Okay.
Every day, I find one fresh new thing to affirm about Phil, and I tell him.
Wow.
Then I tell somebody else about this thing that is true about Phil, or that he did, or that I noticed, or something like that. Now, these could be all the way from deep-hearted things to lighthearted things
But I mean,
for 30 days.
That would cultivate, I'm just thinking practically, that cultivates a curiosity of goodness. You're trying to find good in people when that's your perspective. What were you going to say, Elizabeth?
Well, we have our friends, Dino and Ashley. They were on the podcast once. Uh-huh. You can follow them on Instagram at Arrows and Bow. But they do these like marriage challenges, and they're usually 30 days, but I love how they word it. They do it, and it's something like acts of service, or, you know, they'll just pick something, but they call it to get them in an upward spiral.
Yes.
And
out
of
a downward into an upward. That's so wise.
I just love that visual. And can you imagine if we're praising our spouse to them and to other people in front of them, you know, how that will get your marriage in an upward spiral, and your own heart towards your spouse in an upward spiral, instead of down in that pit of the reoccurring argument that every couple has.
I love that. I love that.
And I think we should make sure our kids overhear at least some of this too, because we want to create in our homes kind of a haven from all the unkindness that is in our world. This cancel culture, the name calling. I mean, we had a person in the highest seat of power, and we still have people in the highest seats of power, calling each other names. We want to create in our homes this culture of kindness, like, I'm safe at home. Maybe my little sister will call me a name, but if that happens, my mom and dad are quick to correct that. That's not acceptable, because our homes become this safe place from the harsh unkindness of our world.
Well, and I think maybe just to note, before we get to our last one, we're going to that really quick, is some of you have never seen this example. And right, so this might be hard for some.
Yes.
Some homes you came from that are listening, your parents did this, and this is going to be super easy for you, and you're honestly going to feel really natural doing this. And then there's going to be some who feel so out of their skin, weird, confused, and it might just seem so foreign. And what I would just say to you is, and to encourage you specifically, is just try. You know, be curious to try something else. You will never, ever grow out of that stage or those feelings unless you begin the process. And it is a process of beginning to speak life over people. So what's the last one?
Well, just in response to what you just said, I once, years ago, as a young woman, thought I was just not a complainer. You know, I was brought up very much in a, you know, zero tolerance complaining home. Whining was not allowed. But Elizabeth Elliot did a similar, I don't know if you even know who she is, but she was to me a woman I never met, but who was like a mentor to me. She showed me what it meant to be a woman follower of Christ, and through her books. And she, in her newsletter, sent out a 30-day challenge to not complain.
Wow.
I thought, okay, I can do this. I mean, this is in me. I went the first day, no complaining. By the second day, I complained. And then I thought, okay, I better start over. So I started over for 30 days, started again. And I basically eventually gave up because I could not complain. I could, there's no way I could go 30 days without complaining. So if that is where you find yourself, 30 days of you can't go 30. I very much doubt that I can honestly go 30 days without saying one negative thing to Phil. I mean, honestly, we'll see. we'll say in a further podcast. But honestly, if that is you, you don't start over.
Yeah, just keep going.
Just keep going. Offer each other, you know, ask forgiveness of your spouse.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to say, when we all blow it, what do we do?
What are we going to do? We say, I am so sorry. I committed to 30 days of kindness and I was unkind to you. Will you please forgive me?
Yeah, that's
beautiful. Without saying, but if you hadn't done so and so and so and so, I wouldn't have to. Okay. Yeah. So just give you, and then the person who was the recipient of the unkindness, say, I forgive you because part of chesed is mercy.
Yeah.
I forgive you, honey. So I forgive you. I know you had a rough day. Instead of, you are so uptight. Oh. You know, what's your problem?
I knew you couldn't make it 30 days.
Yeah. So don't keep starting over again,
I know how this is going to go for me, I guess. Yes. Okay, what's the last one?
Okay, the last one is really important. It's carry out kindness. This is the doing part of kindness. By purposing to carry out one small act of generosity or unexpected kindness every single day, we create this culture of kindness in our relationships.
Yeah, wow. That reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, which I think we all know, which is God's description of love.
Yes.
And most weddings have this read, and I've read them at many weddings myself, that passage, but love is patient, love is kind. That's the second thing that is there. And when I study that for the first time, like in America, we think kindness is just being nice, right? Mm-hmm. But I found out these in the original language of the New Testament, Greek, they're verbs.
Yeah.
Love is being patient. Love is being kind, and the word kind there in the Greek means doing something useful for another person. And I thought about it. Whenever I say, oh, that person is so kind, it's because they did something for me.
Was useful.
Or for somebody else. That's why we call them acts of kindness. So, in our marriage, what if we tried to outdo each other with acts of kindness? I think it would change things really, really quick. So carrying out
Remember, these are unexpected things, not just, you know, the division of duties. I did your laundry.
Good. That's good.
So I went to the grocery store, whatever your division is. Exactly. This is the unexpected.
This is above and beyond doing dishes or putting the kids to bed.
Which we've been watching happen. We're sitting here in Diane's cottage cabin, writer's cabin, looking out, and Brooke and Elizabeth's oldest son, Duke, I had a bunch of wood that needed to be moved from one house to the other. It's raining outside. It's cold. It's wet. It's muddy. And I'm watching him go back and forth with this wheelbarrow. He's 11?
Yeah.
Filled up, heavier than I would want it filled up. And he's going back and forth. And then he finishes and he's hosing off the thing and cleaning everything up. Yeah. And he didn't just do what he knows he's going to get paid. But he
I think that's the motivation.
He did everything he was asked to do. And then some.
Yeah, he did.
And so he didn't have to do that.
No, he went above and beyond.
He was doing acts of kindness, helping his pops get a bunch of heavy wood to the other side of the house, you know? And so this is not a marriage thing, but you're training him. Mm-hmm. What he's doing right now, you've already trained him. That's going to affect his marriage.
Oh, what a gift. You know? Well, we invite you to join us in this challenge. Kindness, chesed, remember the fullness of it. And as you're in this process, please reach out to us on Instagram. Let us know how it's going. Let us know how this whole thing is actually playing out for you. Some of the fun parts, some of the hard parts. Can't wait to do this with you all. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.